I'm coming home, I'm coming home. Tell the world I'm coming home. Let the rain wash away all the pain of yesterday. I know my kingdom awaits, and they've forgiven my mistakes. I'm coming home, I'm coming home. Tell the world I'm
back where I belong, yeah. I never felt so strong, and
I'm back,
I'm
baby.
Feeling like there's nothing I can't try.
Nothing.
And if you with me, put your hands high.
Put your hands high.
You haven't lost a life before.
Hey.
This one's
for you. Me, put your hands high.
Your dreams are filled. You're rocking with the best. I'll be on you.
I hear the tears of a clown. I hate that song. I always feel like they're talking to me when it comes on.
Come on.
Another day, another dawn. Another Keisha, nice to meet you, get the math, I'm gone.
Go.
What am I supposed to do when the club lights come on? It's easy to be pumped, but it's harder to be shown. What if my twins ask why I ain't married a mom?
Why?
Damn, how do I respond? What if my son stares with a face like my own and says he wants to be like me when he's grown? Shit, but I ain't finished grown. Another night that inevitable prolongs. Another day, another dawn.
Come on.
Just tell Keisha and Teresa I'll be better
than tomorrow.
Another lie that I carry on. I need to get back to the place I belong.
Come on.
All right. Finally. Hopefully that's the very last time we're ever going to hear that show. Ladies and gentlemen, my name is Joe.
And I'm Carolyn.
And you're in fact listening to the one and only Carolyn and Joe Show!
That song is pretty interesting because I've never actually listened to lyrics, but I want to know what I'm going to tell my twins when they ask if why I didn't marry their mom.
Is that what...
because that was a lyric in that song.
Hello, everybody. Hello, everyone. We are, in fact... post WrestleMania show. Actually, exactly. We have just watched.
We've just
experienced it live, and we have to talk about it. Carolyn, who's in the studio today?
Oh my gosh, we have a major appearances in the studio tonight. Three people, two of which have never even been on the Carolyn and Joe show, and they're making their first appearance. But first, let's start with Danny, a recognizable voice you all have heard on the show before.
How's it going, Danny?
It's going pretty well.
Nice.
I hope this is the last time we hear it, but you know they're going to play it when they're plugging the encore stuff, but all I could think of listening to the lyrics was, it's like, why the hell didn't anyone kill him instead of Biggie and Tupac?
who else is in the studio
also
today?
In the studio, we are joined with Brian and Matt.
How's it going, guys?
How's it going, world?
We're chilling.
So I guess, like, introduce yourself with your voice so people can recognize your voice.
Well, I have this world's sexiest voice, as anybody can... here,
as anybody can hear.
Yeah, I mean, we just watched WrestleMania. It was a complete debacle.
And
we wasted about 2.5 hours. There's only one good match. I'm Brian. I'm Carolyn's brother. I'm the sports guru. But, you know, I'm not a baseball freak next to two baseball freaks.
Yeah.
If you guys want to know football, but we're talking wrestling tonight. And,
we are.
Breaking my maiden on the Carolyn Joe show.
Breaking my maiden. And Matt...
I'm Matt.
Matt,
and,
we have returned, sir.
We returned, yeah. A few years ago, me and Joe had a radio show, which Carolyn actually was on too. The Revolution, WEBR. But I'm back here, and the reason I'm back here is to talk shit about WrestleMania.
And what a good reason. I mean, I can't think of anything better.
But wait.
Except for the news.
It's the news time.
You guys, this Saturday, April 13th, Joe and I will be appearing at Annapolis Book Festival in Annapolis, Maryland. This is the first time I've ever been to the Annapolis Book Festival. In fact, I've never actually been to a book festival before, so this will be an awesome experience. It's at the Key School, and we will be there from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. in Artist Alley. It'll be exciting because I don't really know exactly what to expect, but there's like a ton of artists, writers, and creators there. Tons of also literary guests that are more esteemed, it sounds like, than sometimes they like to perceive it as. And for example, I'm sure you guys have heard of the American Girls series. like the Dolls. Have you heard of them? I don't know if my, you guys are the crowd.
My cousin,
$300.
Yeah. My cousin and it. Dolls. I remembered it.
So one of the authors of the American Girls series is going to be there, which is, you know, I think that's pretty big.
Carol, didn't you have a collection, like Dorothy was her name? Or
no, it was Molly. I have Molly. The Molly doll.
You had the Molly doll.
And let's see. Awesome. So awesome people are going to be there. Like Steve Conley that does Bloop. He's a local artist and creator, will be there. K. Michael Crawford will be there. Dan Noakes will be there. And also Charles Paul Wilson III. Who created The Stuff of Legend. That's a pretty awesome comic book, and he will be there as well. They'll also have live demonstrations about science, balloons, magic, live music, seminars on how to create your own superhero, and a discussion on the history of comics with Third Eye Comics. So I think that's pretty awesome. There's a whole bunch of stuff and activities to do the whole day, and Joe and I will be there. Again, that's this Saturday at Annapolis Book Festival. And then, on April 20th and 21st, Joe and I will be at Awesome Con DC at the DC Convention Center. That will be amazing, and we are doing a live Carolyn and Joe show on Sunday at 2 p.m. That's April 21st at 2 p.m.
We might as well let the cat out of the bag right now. We have a very special Walking Dead guest that will be live on the air with us, or live on the recording with us.
Laura Cohen? It better be.
It might be.
We might never know.
We're not dropping the name right now, but you guys should definitely go to Awesome Con and find out. It is, you know, who has not seen The Walking Dead, and it's actually really great to have this person on. I'd say he's a pretty big person and maybe a pretty tiny person at the same time. So take the hints, and, you know, everyone should go out there and check it out. And of course, you can check out Now the Carolyn Joe Show can now be listened to on Stitcher Radio. Anyone has an app available, like iPad or whatever, online, go to Stitcher Radio and check out Carolyn and Joe's show. That's where we can be found. Also, of course, the normal website. But awesome, the whole world can now hear these guys, right into Stitcher Radio worldwide. Let's hear about it, guys.
I hope the guest is Herschel. I want to ask him how he had like infinite ammo in that one episode. He's just gunning down.
With one leg. Yeah.
Also shooting zombies over and over and over and over.
So that's great. So you guys have seen The Walking Dead, so know how huge of a deal just to have anyone on The Walking Dead.
It is probably one of the biggest shows on TV right now.
The beginning, yeah. I mean, I gotta be real with you. The beginning of The Walking Dead, when they had, you know, the very beginning, they only had maybe like half a season. It took me a little while to get into it. But then, like, I got into it. Season 2, I got into it.
So definitely, awesome con, man. You guys should check it out. It's going to be our panel and recording of the Carolyn Joe Show at Awesome Con. It's going to be on Sunday, 2 o'clock. Check out the program. It's a special thing, and it's really cool. Everyone should go check it out. And there you go. Stitcher Radio, Walking Dead, bam.
I can't get over the Herschel thing, because it was funny. There was a picture on the internet, like, after this particular episode. It's not really giving anything away. It was funny because it was one of those like internet meme pictures. It said like, fictional world with zombies exist. People still complain about Herschel's infinite ammo shotgun.
All right, so let's be honest. We just watched WrestleMania. What were people excited about? Because me personally, of course, I'm a big CM Punk fan. I'm looking forward to that match. Was anyone else looking forward to anything else happening, or anyone had any hype that was going into it? Did you have that WrestleMania feeling going into it?
No, man. I mean, for growing up being a big WWF fan, I don't give a fuck what they call it now. WWF to me, I grew up with that. You know what I mean?
Yeah. You gotta blame the polar bears.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly, man. You gotta blame it on the world, wildlife, whatever. But I mean, I remember every match used to be good. And we could go through an old WrestleMania, go through every match, it'll be awesome. There'll be a moment. Me personally, I like the run-ins, what they'd have. You know, they'd have like the heel, like the bad guys come in, attack them, hit them with the chair, you know what I mean? Yeah, like the big beatdown. I mean, here what we had, a lot of, you know, you have the Lesnar Triple H match. You have Shawn Michaels getting hurt, laying by the ring for a half an hour.
Actually, let's do it this way. Let's break it down match by match. Match per match? I don't even remember what the first match was.
It was the Shield.
The
Shield and the
3-on-3.
So were you guys, anyone here looking forward to that match?
I didn't watch it.
I wanted to see how.
I got it right. Yeah.
Oh yeah, that's right.
Yeah. All right. It's actually on right now. Yeah, the replay.
Ambrose and Rollins. I wanted to see how they did. I don't really care about Roman Reigns. He's just like a new Batista.
The second, the new
yeah,
Batista.
He's pretty much another Batista.
What about you, Brian? Are you a fan of the Shield or any one of like the Randy Orton anyone?
Well, I'm not a big fan of a 3-on-3 match like that. I think that you either have, you know, either tag team or that's all you have. The 3-on-3, I mean, I guess it gets you in. It was a good opening match.
Yeah.
Good. And that's it. There wasn't anything special about it. Nothing memorable. It was just the first match of the night.
See, I was thinking that there should have been something memorable because last year, even though I was a big Daniel Bryan fan, you know, at least that was a memorable moment. I was expecting, I'm a huge Dean Ambrose fan and a Seth Rollins fan. So I was thinking Seth Rollins would have done something crazy. But do you guys think he did?
But what does the Shield do? What are they shielding? There's nothing sacred. What are they shielding?
Carolyn, what are they shielding?
I'm not quite sure, actually. I just know that they come in through the audience.
They're the Shields of
Justice.
They're the
True Commission.
What justice?
The True Commission?
The True Commission was shit, man. Like, I remember that. Like, with Kurgan. Kurgan and the Jackal.
You're taking it way back.
I am. But yeah, dude, but any wrestling fan know what I'm talking about.
Yeah,
I think if you don't know what I'm talking about right now, you're not a wrestling fan. I think you don't know what I'm talking about. So, I mean, yeah.
And that's like the historian of all of us. I feel like you have the longest memory span, and you can
Joe does too. Cool. I mean,
he goes back out 1992 SummerSlam references.
Yeah.
He brought out a Papa Shango.
Dude, Papa Shango, who became the Godfather and the Goodfather and all that other shit.
Are you dead?
Did he die? Charles Wright?
No, he's still
I even know the guy's name, Charles Wright.
Wow, if somebody goes on Wikipedia too much.
No, I knew that. I knew that before.
He actually has his own...
study up.
He actually has his own escort service.
What?
in Vegas. I'm just saying.
The Godfather.
So, but were you saying, but that match wasn't special enough?
No.
It wasn't hot enough, basically.
It's pretty lame. Because very predictable ending.
I thought it was good.
How come you thought it was pretty good?
I mean, I didn't think... I think it could have been hotter, but it wasn't bad.
It was a good intro. That's what it was, an intro. You can't expect anything more out of it. What did anybody expect any greatness out of it? No.
But see,
I think the thing right now is the Shield. What is their purpose? That's the storyline, and I don't see any purpose moving forward as we enter SummerSlam season.
And that's partially true in my perspective, because before when it was like CM Punk and they were working sort of for CM Punk, it was like, okay, so they're always going to be there, you know, to make
protecting
sure he keeps
CM
the
Punk.
Belt on. That's sort of like how the Horsemen were. You got to keep the belt on Ric Flair. That's how like what was his name? Arn Anderson and any one of the Andersons, right? But then once
Ollie
Anderson, yeah. Like, but once that was sort of lost, I was sort of like, I mean, once the Shield broke away from them, I was sort of like, well, now what are you going to do? Just beat random people?
Now they're going to be jobbers. They won today, but you know, they're going to be jobbers, you know.
Well, they broke the format of a 3 or 6-man tag because, like, everyone has to get their finishing move in, but we didn't see a bro kick.
Yeah.
We didn't see whatever Ambrose might do.
Yeah.
And Big Show didn't do any choke slams. I mean, he busted out the weapon of mass destruction twice after the match on his own teammates, but it broke the format of like the clusterfuck ending. They didn't do it.
It just ended. It wasn't like dire enough because even when the TLC match that they had with Daniel Bryan and Kane, that was a good match. That was like a pretty hot match, but it also wasn't. I remember watching like WCW and they had like the first match was like the most dangerous match.
Well, they usually have the luchador match or the cruiserweight match.
It was either luchadors or Canadians. Pretty much. It was always like Lance Storm opening up a show
or
Christian. Yeah.
So this one wasn't a hot opening. What was the last hot WrestleMania opening? I'm trying to remember what there was.
The Rocker's face in the Twin Towers in WrestleMania 5 because it was funny it was funny watching like these little guys facing these two fat guys and they have no chance of beating, and it's just like anytime they get actually knock them down, you know, it'd be a big deal because they were facing Big Boss Man Nakim, which is one of the most racist wrestling gimmicks of all time. Like a white guy who turns into like a wigger and's got the continent of Africa on like the back of his shirt.
Who was it that was one man gang who turned into?
Yeah, who turned into a king. I actually recently watched a YouTube video. Like they had the ritual. They had like an African ritual, and he had a black manager, which I guess made it cool.
And Slick was a pimp, wasn't he?
Yeah, yeah.
That's right.
Yeah, I remember the music. Yeah, yeah. It was a But yeah, I remember that match. But yeah, you know, recently, you know, it ain't what it used to be. You know,
Rockers versus the Twin Towers.
You know, y'all remember that?
That was like WrestleMania 5. Or
yeah, so 24 years ago. So
it shows you how it dropped the quality. I'm sorry.
So 24 years.
It's been a 24 year dip.
Well, no, they had good shit after that. But I feel like. I don't know. It ain't what it used to be. And what you all were bringing up, the political agenda of Linda McMahon and how they're not all goofy like they used to be. You know what I mean? Like now I feel like they're catering. They can't offend anybody. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
They're just trying.
Or be a star.
Exactly. And the way I feel like now, the matches, they're all about the match now. Where before would be all the goofy shit and all the promos they would have before would kind of make WrestleMania. You know what I mean? A big part of it. They didn't have any of that tonight, and they didn't have any of that a year ago. You know what I mean?
So what was what was the second match?
Was it Ryback Mark Henry?
Yo, Mark Henry.
Was it really?
I think so.
That would actually be a highlight of the night.
It's funny because like I don't really remember the match itself because I went up to get like a slice of pizza, and then all of a sudden it was over. What like Karen? What was the ending of that?
Pretty awesome ending.
I do remember that. Ryback did a big move on Mark Henry.
No, Mark Henry.
He didn't do a movie. He's just like, I'm fat.
Henry fell on Ryback, and that was the ending.
What happened?
So it was basically
they were just in the middle of the ring the whole time, and Mark Henry was just kind of pushing. He was just holding, literally hugging. Mark Henry's like just a big brown bear, and he's hugging Ryback
the
whole
time.
That's
exactly how I describe him.
And that's all it was. And it was just like, so for 5 minutes, you just watched a big, giant black man.
Against a Ninja Turtle.
Against a Ninja Turtle and just hugging. It was two men hugging each other.
Yeah, it was pretty gay.
What was your call on the match? Because Danny, I feel you're a legitimate fan of Mark Henry.
Danny's the number one fan of Mark Henry.
Were you looking forward to this match?
Yes, I was. I was hoping for just a big, like, big super heavyweight stalemate match with like intense lockups, like the Brock Lesnar Goldberg match from a couple years ago.
Is that what happened?
No. It was unfortunate.
Was the crowd into this match?
They were chanting boring, so no.
But then again, they weren't in the main event either.
Yeah, this was dead. All right, New Jersey, not fucking New York. It was New Jersey.
So you actually had like a major problem with that, right?
Because it's in New Jersey.
It is in New Jersey.
Yeah, they're like 100% of WrestleMania took place in the state of New Jersey. Yet everything marketing WrestleMania was WrestleMania 29 in New York / New Jersey. I'm like, what?
Well, they are right at
the mayor right there, but they're not in fucking New York. They're in fucking New Jersey.
So it should be the Maryland Redskins then.
Exactly.
Well, yeah,
yes.
Because you know both the Jets and Giants playing.
So it should be the New York Jets.
Where they had
New
fucking
Jersey
WrestleMania.
Jets.
All right, don't even get me
going. I'm not bothered by that. They said New York.
I'm bothered by that. We're the nation's fucking capital. We can't have a football stadium. They could remodel RFK. You know what I mean? Like it. But we're getting off topic.
Back to Mark Henry.
But logistically, it does sort of not make sense. But I understand marketing-wise, it's like, well, let's see. I'm talking about the New York, the New York and New Jersey.
Well, yeah, again, politically.
Well, the logo they said NY and J. To me, whatever.
Well,
it's the tri-state area.
Yeah, it is a tri-state area, but also
it wasn't in Pennsylvania. It wasn't in Connecticut. It wasn't any of those fucking states. It was
What would you call it? What would you call it then?
New Jersey. In the Meadowlands.
Let's see. Is there another stadium?
It doesn't
stadium?
Sound as appealing, Danny.
Is there another stadium in New York that can?
Yankee Stadium.
Yes. More than MetLife?
Yes. Yankee Stadium's more than any stadium.
Then why didn't they not just do that?
MetLife's about 75,000.
Yankee Stadium's
about
55,000. Really? Yeah. I didn't even know that. But
so MetLife has more.
Yeah.
So maybe there you go. I mean,
maybe they just want to.
It did look like it didn't
also,
have
a, also this
records.
Symmetrically, if you have a wrestling ring in the middle, it's easier to have it at a football stadium than at a baseball field where most of the seats are going to be in one side.
Which is what TNA does. They do a lot of games in baseball stadiums.
But they don't have a big enough crowd.
But they don't have big enough
crowd. Yeah. They probably have to black out half the crowd.
Minor league parks, maybe.
All right, so did anyone like this match?
Yes.
Yeah.
That would actually be, that might be my favorite match. The way it ended.
Oh, my God.
Because the cartoonishness of the wrestling I love came back into play.
What happened?
It's like the big guy, Ryback's about to do the finisher.
What's his finisher? The shell shock when he puts it over
I don't know the name of it.
It's the shell shock
when he puts
again,
it over
again, his like a teenage Mutant
I'm old school, man, but Mark Henry's from my time. But anyway, like, yeah, he's got him up in the air to do the finisher, and Mark Henry's just like, fuck it, I'm fat.
No,
I'm
he grabs the rope, it stalls the move, and then he just falls on him.
Exactly.
Then he pins
the
him.
Highlight, to me, the highlight of that pay-per-view. that pay-per-view, but going to show you, that pay-per-view's that bad that the highlight for me was Mark Henry not even doing a finisher.
Just
being fucking fat and falling again.
You know what my highlight was?
Carolyn, did he struggle or did Ryback just fall?
If a guy that fat
I guess it was just a fat on fat.
Shrug.
I don't know.
Fat on fat.
But also, you know what? Like, just by like picking a moment grind. That's the highlight, is all I gotta say is Triple H frosting.
Oh!
That's
okay.
The highlight.
Okay,
That was the highlight of the night.
Yeah.
All right, someone
but we'll get into
this.
That later.
Yeah, we'll get into that.
We'll go match by match.
What was the next match after that? Was that the Ziggler match?
Third match.
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
With AJ.
I thought that was pretty good because you know what? Daniel Bryan deserves more than 18 minutes. Or 18 seconds.
Seconds.
18 seconds.
He does.
And he did get that yes chant at the very end.
But I was firmly... My biggest prediction going into the night was... The Ziggler stable would win all belts tonight, which means they would win the tag team titles. A match that I thought should have been on the card wasn't even on the card with AJ.
Oh, with
AJ
Albert,
versus
Albert
Kate.
Being
well,
an
they,
AJ
they were
guy
they were building up an AJ and Caitlyn feud, so I was like, great, now AJ's gonna win the belt. WrestleMania.
They needed a cat fight. What about like Jim the Anvil Nineheart's fucking hot daughter? Where the fuck was
yeah,
she?
Yeah, Natty.
Where the fuck was she?
She's usually
yeah, where is she?
She's
dancing
usually,
with Kali.
Yeah,
actually,
she's
I do
with
have
Kali.
A small bit of beef about that. It's like. We did not see any female wrestling at all. We saw females... I can't even say AJ was in the ring. I was going to say she was kind of in the ring, but she was on the side.
And it is her hometown, too.
And we did not actually see a female go through the ropes to the ring, which I think is unfortunate. It would be nice to just, you know,
well,
see at least
one match. Well, I think it's hypocritical
of
WWE to present Trish Stratus as, you know, the... Female Hall of Famer, and then not even to...
At least they showed her, though.
Recognize.
Yeah.
I mean, Trish is born not number one. If you're on the hot factor, you know, born. Is she like a...
But not even just because of the hotness. I mean, she is legitimately a really good wrestler. But on top of that, it's like, dude, can't even show one single female in the ring. I don't know, just a little thing I wanted to point out there.
I know there was supposed to be...
But yeah, what happened with that?
It's funny, it's a 4-hour show, and yet we can't, you know...
Yeah, due to time constraints, certain matches are cut.
Because
why are they cutting on pay-per-views?
Because you have to have the P. Diddy performance of one
versus... Oh, I gotta go off on that in a minute, man. I left. You remember, I left when this shit came on.
But who determines time constraints? There's no... It's a pay-per-view. There's no commercials. There's no anything. They can go on for 5 hours or 6 hours.
Well, that means they have to pay more for it, though.
Who would have to pay for it?
Oh,
WWE has to pay for it.
They can't afford it? They're a billion.
It's already there. They have a guaranteed contract with the cable companies or DirecTV. It's whoever buys the pay-per-view. They could go on for more than 4 hours.
Yeah. The question is,
who needs who more?
But can the fans go for another? Because that's a long time.
If we would have got a good match thrown in there at the end, I would have gone. They could have thrown in another hour or two.
Dude, the
good matches, I would have been hyped for it. They throw one good match in there, I'm like... I'm fucking it.
What were you saying, Danny? The hipster?
Those fucking hipster fans in New Jersey don't give a shit about wrestling. They're there because it's a scene.
Exactly. Yeah. They want to be on TV.
They just want to hold their ironic signs and
like I
want to
be on TV
remarks,
with my ironic sign.
Remarks.
I want to fuck Snooki.
All right, so.
I want to fuck Snooki.
You should put it out there. She might be listening.
I will. I'll put
she
it out
She probably is. She has nothing else better to do.
Yeah, she got another, yeah.
So what's
Snooki,
your...
if you ever hear the show, I want to fuck you. Yeah. And I will marry you. It's my dream to marry a girl that's got a lot of money where I can lay around and get drunk and, you know what I mean, just like bang my hot wife.
That's
a
very powerful dream.
So what would Snooki...
oh, yeah. Anyway,
you're all like, I have a dream.
So what would Snooki be doing while you're banging your hot wife?
I actually find Snooki hot, man. I mean, you can call me crazy, whatever, but I mean, like, yeah.
I like how all of us are, like, looking at each other.
No,
like,
I came in, and they showed Snooki when I came in. I'm like, am I the only one who would have banked Snooki? And you're like, yeah.
All right.
We did catch a glimpse of her behind the announcer booth.
Dude, eventually she's going to make a glimpse porn. Too many. I'm going to buy it, then, you know what I mean? We'll go from there.
So, Danny, overall opinion about that.
I look forward to it.
Overall opinion about that Dolph Ziggler match.
It was positive. Very positive. It was just like a Raw match, but it wasn't bad.
But was it special?
No.
So that's the thing, is like...
Nothing was special about that match.
So that's the thing, is like, you want WrestleMania to be sort of special, to have that little spark.
No, nothing. Nobody had a WrestleMania moment.
The only WrestleMania moment I saw off of that was at the end with Daniel Bryan getting the whole crowd to say yes, because that was a massive...
That was massive.
I agree. That would be the equivalent. Nobody even got a fucking pop when they came to the ring.
Yeah.
Would you remember about every old WrestleMania, every old pay-per-view? Like, oh, you know, dude, remember when the Legion of Doom would come in the ring?
I mean, like
the
crowd, yeah.
Yeah, crowd would go fucking apeshit, man.
I think the Undertaker got a pop.
So what was
when he came out?
Yeah, what was the next match after that? Where was that the P. Diddy
one
performance?
One thing I have to say about Biggie Langston was his outfit was intriguing.
What was his
he
outfit?
He had like a lion, and the lion had like some crazy dreads going on, so it was almost like they were trying to make him more African.
They're trying to make him more African.
Yeah, like they're trying to make a black guy more African. So I thought that was.
Why didn't they bring out Kamala then?
How can we propagate more black stereotypes?
Here's your prime example, like with Kamala, like we're gonna.
How did his intro go?
And he
slapped his stomach all the time.
Well, Biggie Langston before he never like race. I think never played an issue with him. It was just like he's obviously black. But he never wore like any outfit that was like that meant anything really. From what I can remember, but this time around it seemed like he was going with this African influence.
You know what people call him in the minor leagues? No. Or in the minor league of wrestling? Rye Black.
Remember when they made Tony Atlas's shit? They had like Saba Simba. That was racist as shit too. That was a Royal Rumble 91. I remember they had him in there.
I think he's
homeless right now in Providence, Rhode Island.
All right, my memory.
Really?
Tony Atlas.
My memory is fleeting me. Now, what was the next match?
The fourth match.
No, we had the concert, the mini concert.
Oh, now I'm gonna go off on a fucking.
You're bringing back that coming home.
I'm gonna give Matt this moment.
All right.
Let it out, and I'll cut you off when we need to cut
you
off.
All right. Here we go. I remember back when we were in ninth grade. You know, Biggie Smalls, Notorious B.I.G., really fucking talented rapper. He had a producer who made the choice, like, I want to rap too, Biggie. And, like, you know, sampled other music that had already gotten big, no talent, what fucking so ever. In the middle of WrestleMania, Joe tells me, oh, P. Diddy's going to play a show. I'm like, all right, I'm out of here right now. I got to go hit a jack. Fuck this shit. I'm not watching this shit. Talentless fucking fuck, bringing hip-hop down. They could have actually cut a match out for that fucking cocksucker, and I couldn't believe it. And it's just like, all right, yeah, there are people who like P. Diddy, and if you think P. Diddy's got any talent, you're a fucking idiot. You're disgracing hip-hop by giving that dude any fucking props, and he had no place at WrestleMania. And they cut off the match that a lot of people here actually wanted to watch. They were waiting for it, you know what I mean, for fucking P. Diddy. So, fuck P. Diddy, and yeah,
all right,
there we go.
We'll end it with that. What was the next match after that?
I think that was the first world title match.
Then. Really? Yeah, all right, so there's Del Rio against Ziggler. So, Danny, you can't watch a Zebediah promo,
they're just boring. It sounds like I'm watching fucking CNN whenever he cuts a promo about how Mexicans are taking over the world and how, like, jobs and taken. I was like, okay, if I could watch Fox News, too.
But, wait, it wasn't Ziggler. Somebody said it was Del Rio and Ziggler.
Oh, sorry, Del Rio and Swagger.
No, everybody wanted Del Rio and Ziggler.
Yeah. You were thinking about what we
I was wanted. Firmly in belief that Ziggler, after winning the tag team titles, would cash in his Money in the Bank later that night and win the world title off of whoever won that match.
But it didn't happen.
That would have been a what the fuck, though. Him coming out of the ring and beating either one of them, you know, because he's not at that level yet, though. But now he's at the level that world title match they had in the beginning. They were both really shitty. But the one with Uncle Zebekiah, like Dutch Mantel, and the two people I never heard of before. Like, if you would have beaten one of them, it would have been all right. If you would have come out and beat either, Cena or The Rock, it would have put the company under. Like right there.
Well,
like,
that's why he was going to go after the world title, because that's nothing. That means nothing. Yeah. There's a hierarchy of belts, and the WWE title is over the world title.
Yeah.
Which, the WWE title is the one The Rock had, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Brian, what'd you think of that match?
Well, I think the whole premise of whatever Zebekiah if you're gonna do that, if you're gonna have a Mexico versus USA type thing, I didn't feel that at all. But so it was, the plot line wasn't even there to begin with.
But it was
if
like
you're gonna do it. I'm saying if you're gonna do it, make it really racist. Do it. Go 100%.
Make it really racist.
Go 100% is the USA. But Jack Swagger, when you think of Jack Swagger, you don't think USA. I mean, he's just a random guy that can't speak English. Before
I think
that,
of
they
USA
had special,
with a random guy that can't speak English.
They had
that's
special,
USA to me.
I mean, he's
George
he's
W.
Nothing.
Bush.
And what did he say? Like, what was his? All he says like, "We are USA.
We are the people.
We the people.
We the people.
We the people.
We the people.
And it's like, what is this? And more people were, for the Mexican guy. Yeah, you can't. That was a stupid match. The whole premise, the whole plot line wasn't there.
See, my whole issue with that is, I feel like Zeb Coulter does all the talking, which is fine. Like, I don't have a problem with Zeb Coulter.
Yep.
But then it's almost like the talent, Jack Swagger, is just an airhead.
See,
it's
that's
like,
good, though. There's
the talent it's good. Actual day.
The whole concept's good for Raw, but that's not a WrestleMania. The fact that that concept got placed in a WrestleMania, the middle of the show, I just don't see that at all by WWE. I think that was a mistake.
Well, there you go.
That was a mistake.
At the same time, Danny, you wanted to see Ziggler. This was the moment where Ziggler was supposed to do something.
Yeah, but the problem was when Del Rio won the match and was still very much conscious, I was like, yeah, Ziggler's not coming
out.
He's not going to attack a fresh opponent.
It was good to see AJ. I felt good for AJ having her moment, but then again, she didn't really have a WrestleMania moment.
No, she got to run up on the apron and scream for 2 seconds.
And they did sort of.
If she took her top off, now that would have been a WrestleMania moment.
On a family show, Matt.
Yeah, but like, dude, they've had it happen in TNA. You know what I'm talking about. A girl at TNA, her top got ripped off during the show.
Yeah, but it was Awesome Kong, and nobody wanted to see that in the first place.
No. The blonde girl. I don't know the name of her. I watched it on YouTube, man.
But that's when TNA was like really Nashville.
They've been wrestling. ECW with Kimona
Wanalea, which she pissed on top of the arena. Yeah, I remember that.
I remember when Awesome Kong got, I guess the brace fell off of her top.
Yeah,
I remember all of us were like, and then like seriously after I was like, oh my god, I feel bad for her. And then like immediately after the show ended, we're like, rewind it, we want to watch Awesome Kong. And it was like all of us. It was like, who was it? Hazard and us like just kept rewatching.
We were like, at first we were like no,
and then we rewatched it like 5 times, and I was like, okay, and enough. I feel bad for her. Like I really felt bad because especially with her character, she's not the type that's like, hey.
Like, people are going to be like, be like, put your shirt back, girl.
Exactly. I felt bad for her because obviously it would never.
Imagine if she and Mark Henry had a child.
It'll be really fat.
The real question is,
who's the father?
It'll be like the black Yokozuna.
World's strongest kid.
All right, Daniel, what was the next match after this? Was this match disappointing or did it mean anything?
Disappointing.
Very disappointing? No Ziggler?
They all kind of were, but.
Thumbs down.
Not even, there wasn't even like a high spot that people could have been interested in.
No, there was no high spot of that whole match.
And the crowd, I felt like, wasn't even into it.
They were chanting, "We want Ziggler."
Yeah, I remember that. Next match, what was the next match on the card?
Unfortunately, the next match was CM Punk and Undertaker. Yeah.
Nice.
With 2 more matches to go. Three more matches to go.
It should have been 4. Yeah.
It should have been 3, but.
I was the most excited about this match because, again, it's quite obvious. Did it live up to what it was supposed to be?
No. highlight match, with the exception of Mark Henry being like, "I'm fat," and just getting the pin, like in that match. Like, real good match, but again, there's too many, or WrestleMania, there's too many finishers. They kind of did go the finisher route for a lot of that match.
Yeah.
Whereas, like, all right, WrestleMania, we're each going to do. I mean, Undertaker's got like 15 different finishers, and I'm pretty sure.
What? Undertaker has what? Like Tombstone,
Chokeslam,
and
he had that leg lock.
He's got like five.
But he did all 5 of them, and a couple of them he did like multiple times and shit.
Yeah.
But it would be, in terms of a match, it would be the highlight of the night. But I mean, I feel like more could have gone on.
To me, definitely, it was the match of the night. Carolyn, what did you think about that match?
Well, I did, going into it, I was like, CM Punk and Undertaker are undeniably probably in my top 5 of wrestlers of all time. So immediately, that it's going to be a good match. So at that point, I wasn't looking to be disappointed. And also, like, in my head, I was like, you know, maybe CM Punk should really break the streak.
I was hoping. Like, I had a really deep feeling that he was going to break the streak.
There was, like, I kept going back and forth with it. But then, like, I guess near the end, I was kind of like, you know, I don't think they're going to, I don't think they're not going to pull the plug on this yet.
Never going to happen.
But it was still a good match. Like, I didn't walk away from that disappointed. I was just like, man, that was a really good match. And then I kept thinking, like, this is the best so far. And I never would expect anything else to beat that in the show. But then part of me was like, why did they not save this for the very end?
Danny, did you think they had, how's the crowd reaction for that match?
It was a good crowd reaction. The fans were into it. It was actually kind of split. The hipsters all wanted to, ironically, cheer for CM Punk.
Are they just all hipsters?
Yes, they're all hipsters. So ironic. They're all hipsters. But, the problem for me, it was easily the best match of the night, but I think the problem was it just didn't have the dramatic effect of the last 4 years when it was Shawn Michaels, Triple H.
They didn't add that specialness
exactly.
That it deserved.
Every single one of those matches, you honestly thought, oh my god, Undertaker might actually lose this one.
Also, I feel like there has a lot to do with, like, the entrances, too. Even though it was cool to have Living Color play CM Punk.
But they were old.
They were old. I thought they were a cover band.
He's like, that a cover band playing? I'm like, no, man, they got the real Living Color there, but they're old.
That was the real deal. But that was one thing.
They sounded good, though.
They sounded really good.
They sounded good, but I thought they were
being
cover
that
band.
Old, they did. Yeah. But I mean, yeah.
I remember you made, did you make a comment? Someone made a comment of, like, yeah, I bet a million people didn't know they were actually going to be black.
I think that was Hunter who said that.
What'd you think about that match, Brian?
Well, the one moment that people forget is the where CM Punk was jumping off the top pedestal and landed on the Mexican or the Spanish
announcer table.
High spot.
People forget
about that. That was probably the biggest hit. That's the whole WrestleMania.
Yeah, that's probably the highest.
And I honestly thought, I mean, when I heard that slam, I thought somebody got injured. I mean, that was like a legitimate wrestling. And that was the only time where I was like, damn, I saw something unique. I saw something great in this WrestleMania. So, I mean, that was the highlight there. And also, you have to look at the back and forth eye technique of both wrestlers. I mean, they were looking at each other in their eyes. I thought CM Punk was in it. Undertaker was in it. They actually cared about the match. I think everybody else was in it for the money. You look at The Rock. You look at all these other people. They were in it for the money. I think
The Rock clearly in it for the money.
CM Punk and The Undertaker, I think they were actually wrestling. It was a good match. I would give it a B+.
Like, they wanted to put on a good
match. They put on a good show. For the best, for Undertaker's age, what, Matt, you said he's 48?
Yeah.
For his 48. Age, he put on the best show that he could possibly do.
And
he can't do anything
be
more.
Like it. The old guy shouldn't be, you know, outdoing the younger
That's
people,
kind of sad for the WWE, know? Where you have a guy that's 48 putting up the best match, and CM Punk's the only guy that really cares whether or not he wins or loses.
Well, the thing is also, he wrestles once a year. When you have an entire year of rest.
At that age, you can't.
Well, what do they do now? Do they have a year full of promos and then actually fight?
No, he just shows up.
You can't do that.
Shows up like a month before WrestleMania.
He shows up, turns the lights on, gongs go off for a few months, and then he walks away for a year.
I remember Carolyn was saying something on Raw where, when we were watching Raw, saying that, like, oh, so Undertaker just shows up and talks and then just leaves. That's basically what you do when you get old.
You know what we haven't discussed about this whole match is actually the urn.
Yes.
And
well, tell us about the urn.
Well, you know, everyone knows that Paul Bearer recently died in real life. So they had this whole backstory about the urn, and then CM Punk had the urn and was mistreating it. Like, he was treating it like a joke and, I guess, juggling it. And at one point, it dropped, and then like the Raw right before WrestleMania, he actually opened it up and, like, poured the ashes all over Undertaker and then smeared it on his own face,
which was like one of my favorite moments. My favorite moment of the year,
like a crazy deranged person doing that. And,
yeah,
because, like, at first I was like, oh my god, he's holding it, and, like, this is the major Raw right before WrestleMania, and I'm like, what else can he do with it? I'm like, man, he has to, like, pour the ashes on Undertaker.
Yeah,
and then and then that's what happened. So I'm like. But I felt like
when,
like,
you think of the most despicable thing that should happen, that's what happened.
Yeah,
and that was very fulfilling as a fan.
At WrestleMania, though, I felt like the angle, like, they did the promo with the whole
like when CM Punk, came out to Undertaker and said, like, I feel really like, what was it? I feel bad, or my condolences towards your loss at WrestleMania. That was, like, so perfect. You know what I mean?
But I felt like during the match, it was really cool to actually see Paul Heyman hold up the urn.
Oh, yeah, like Paul Bear.
Like Paul Bear. Like, but he would do it only during like the CM Punk, whenever CM Punk is doing like some crazy move or about to like do a spot.
Yeah.
And I thought that was pretty smart. But it was like one of those things that you don't see immediately that's all flashy and like in your face. It's one of those like underneath things that you take a moment to actually notice and be like, hey, that's actually pretty cool.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, I agree with Carol 100% on this match, where they actually designed and designated a storyline, a plot line.
A real storyline.
One of the only matches where there was an actually true plot line, and even at the end of it, you know, Undertaker 21-0, CM Punk, where does he go now? Does he vie for a title? This match at least had a plot line, had a storyline. The other matches were just like anybody could have put them together in 1 week, and here's your WrestleMania. I think WWE, the people that do the stories, they need to come together and they need to mold something better next year, because it was obvious. This was the only one. This is the only match that there's only a story. There's the only storyline behind it.
Now
they need new talent.
Imagine how good, Brian, this could have been. I know I'm really biased towards this.
It's Punk.
But imagine how good it could have been if CM Punk did not lose the belt to The Rock at Royal Rumble or whatever the pay-per-view in between, Elimination Chamber, and it was CM Punk's undefeated streak as the world champion, probably over 150 days at this point, against Undertaker's undefeated streak. To me, that would have screamed so much money.
Well, you need to send your resume to Vince McMahon, and you need to start running for WWE.
They are looking for writers with at least 5 to 6 years talent, or not talent, but 5 to 6 years experience above that. But to me, already that was my match of the night of that. Any high spot? Any other high spots, Danny? Oh, that you like in that? What you next, Matt? You next, Matt?
Oh no! I had a point relevant to what you were talking about.
Go for it.
I actually had on the Fan, the local radio station here.
Mm-hmm.
They had Punk on there.
Oh yeah,
Chad Dukes, LeVar Arrington are interviewing him, and he was talking about a guy. The reason I'm bringing it up now, cause I feel like you're like, the matches were kind of shitty, and he brought up a guy, never heard of him, never watched him wrestle. A guy called, I think, like Kazari.
Kazarni?
I don't even know the name of the guy.
It's Kazarni.
It's Kazarni. Okay,
Carolyn was actually a big fan of Kazarni.
Okay, but anyway, he was talking about that guy, and he was like, yeah, that guy should have a match at WrestleMania. Like, he kept talking about it like the entire time. I don't know if the guy's a good wrestler or not, but I heard him on the radio talking about this guy.
Are you talking about Kazarni, or are you talking about Cesaro?
I don't know because I don't watch.
Honestly, based on what you're saying, it's probably Antonio Cesaro.
Which, who? Another guy that should have been on there because he busted his ass the whole year.
That will be it then. Who he's talking about?
Yeah,
I don't know. Maybe I got the name wrong, but you know,
it's most likely Cesaro.
Case of point, we're talking about, there weren't that many good matches, but they had Punk on the radio and he was hyping that guy up. Like, he was like, McMahon, you know what I mean? A lot of the time I agree with, you know what I mean, what he'll do.
Yeah.
And a lot of the time he's right, but, you know, I feel like a lot of the time he's wrong, too. And, yeah, you know what I mean? I heard that like a day before.
I mean, he's a businessman, so he's going to look at the one that gets the most dollars, right?
Yeah, well, yeah. But, I mean, I don't feel like, yeah, a lot of people bought the pay-per-view. But, I mean, yeah, a lot of people, they have diehard, you know, fans and shit that are going to buy the pay-per-view every year. But we didn't enjoy the pay-per-view.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know what I mean? But, all right, go ahead. I just want to bring it up.
The honest thing is to say that most likely I will again buy the pay-per-view next year. It just happens to be a place to be.
Because you're a fan. Yeah. But also, the one other thing I did want to add about the Punk Undertaker match is that it did, even though, Joe, you were, you know, you are a fan of CM Punk and you were disappointed that CM Punk did not win.
Because I'd like to be like a fan now and then, not just a person in the know.
But I guess what I'm trying to bring out, a positive light of everything, is that the end scene, you basically see Undertaker reunited with the urn of Paul Bearer.
Which is a
sweet ending.
Yeah, it completes
like
the story.
That. Yeah.
That's good storytelling.
Everyone, I guess I'm trying to give positive light about this WrestleMania.
So the
just
fan,
that scene is nice.
The fan of me, the fan in me does not like the ending, but the storyteller in me appreciates that it is a beginning, middle, and end that's being told there. Danny, what was the next match?
Lesnar, Triple H.
What'd you think about that, sir?
It was crap. I mean, no doubt, they built it up so much. They're like, it's gonna be a personal match. It's no hold bars.
Did you feel it though? Did you feel, was it personal?
Because not really.
Because you actually watched the build up this
year,
just, right?
Yeah, it was just a straight up no holds barred match. And like Carolyn said, the best part was the entrance of Triple H, where they totally messed up and accidentally like coated him in frosting, essentially.
Because what he had, it was like the Goldberg thing where the steam cut. What was it like?
It was like fire extinguishers, you know, just to create that.
There's
fog
too
effect.
Much stuff in the fog machine.
Yeah, there's too much stuff like. And, coagulated inside of it and just stuck to his to his torso.
Did Triple H know instantly?
No, he just walked down for about 5 seconds.
People were laughing at him.
Everyone's laughing at him.
Finally got
but
it.
But the best part was they had to cut camera to Brock Lesnar staring intensely at Triple H walking down.
And then
down
his
the
expression
ring.
Changed. You know, to, yeah, like Lesnar.
Because like, yeah, Lesnar caught like it too. Looking out into the distance, being like, "What's on that?"
Yeah, you can tell Lesnar's all like looking all like, you know what I mean? Like, I'm gonna fucking kill you. And then you look at like the expression change a little bit, like. He's trying not to crack up. Yeah, you know what I mean? Yeah.
You see his cheek twitch.
You know what's crazy about that scenario, though? Well, first of all, it should never happen. But on top of that, when it did happen, it's pretty amazing that it was only on his torso. Like, I feel like it could have been worse. Like, what if it was, like, his face
got
and
on
shit?
His face.
Like, got all over him? Like, a pie, well,
you got, like,
a pie in the face.
Day,
you know?
You know what I mean?
Like, that would have been terrible. So it could have been that. But then I think that, honestly, like, yeah, we laughed at it when it happened. But the way Triple H handled it, like, he, you know, kept walking and occasionally like brush it off and stuff, and then like you'd see it like diminish little by little, like as they cut back to him.
Well,
so it's like you know that he knows that it's on.
Every
him.
Time he got like an opportunity, he'd like push a little more of it
off.
I mean, it ain't like, you know what I mean, at Fall Brawl 93 when the Shockmaster fell. Remember the Shockmaster Typhoon when he was coming out of the ring and he
I remember
fell?
That. So let's be honest about this. The moment that happened to Triple H, all seriousness of this match just went out the window.
I think my favorite part was it's all while he was trying to remove the white stuff from his torso. It's the collateral damage that happened afterwards. Like, you know, usually he takes a big swig of water and then throws the bottle away. No, he was pouring the water on himself.
He poured it together after.
But the problem was that water lingered around the ringside. So like when the match went outside of the ring, Triple H shoved Brock Lesnar, and you just hear the little squeak of his shoe. And then he's
kind of like a basketball court.
Yeah, he kind of stumbles backwards, and I'm like, that's exactly where he slipped because Triple H dumped water all over the mat.
That and Lesnar, whatever he do, like the cartoonish yell, like yelling for no reason. Yeah.
Don't forget the booger.
Don't forget what?
The booger in his nose.
Oh, yeah, the booger. See, that's what wrestling, I mean, wrestling resorted now, and that happened unintentionally, the booger. Yeah, you know what I mean? We're lucky we got the booger, because they don't do shit intentionally funny anymore. You know what I mean? All the shit that we're talking about the match right here, none of it happened intentionally. You know what I mean? They were fuck-ups, you know, the powder, the booger, you know what I mean? The squeak, which came from, like, a double
the
what?
Don't forget the sweat.
Sorry.
The sweat. I've never seen so much sweat.
This is all these guys. Well, these guys that aren't in shape, because they never wrestle.
This was all in one match, so that's pretty amazing. How we get one amazing, like, really, like, real wrestling match, real professional wrestling, whatever
match. Yeah,
and then you just get this sort of like carnival match.
Well,
people.
The sad thing is, we're noticing all this stuff, and they're all behind the scenes stuff that we shouldn't notice. We should be watching the actual match for wrestling.
There's no way to not notice the frosting.
No, but I'm saying all this stuff we're talking about, it's sad when this is pretty much the number two event or number three event of a WrestleMania, and we're talking about stuff that's so.
Trivial, basically.
Trivial, have nothing to do with wrestling.
Yeah.
So if you talk about, you know, as a wrestling fan, this is crap.
The booger.
The booger.
And then the worst part was the cameraman zoomed back in.
Well, no, because the cameraman probably found it. He's like, all right, I got to make one highlight of it. I'm going to zoom in
and
on the booger.
Just, it's like the cameraman
so
double-taked with the camera, and he's all like, oh my God, there's a booger.
Danny, there was a moment where I was like, oh, maybe this is like Triple H breaking out of the cold type deal, but I was like, oh no, that's a botch. I thought he was gonna do like a glacier.
I thought that too with the camera. I was like, hey, fuck up, they got the powder all over him. Then I got it, you know what happened? Because the original, I'm like, what is he breaking out of like ice? I'm like, what the fuck's he doing? Why does he got powder all over him? But then like I got it when you brought it up, because I thought that it actually be a part of it, you know, plan to happen originally.
So Brian, is there any highlights in this? Was the crowd into the match at all? Do you think?
Oh, not at all. The only highlight was the booger. You had the powder, and then you had the sweat.
Yeah, the sweat is a highlight.
I mean, I have never seen a man sweat more profusely than Brock Lesnar. And also, we forgot about Brock Lesnar's legs. I mean, I've never noticed a man. I mean, he has to be on steroids. He had chicken legs. I mean, we're not even. I don't know. The whole match was just Brock Lesnar. A is not a WWE wrestler.
He
used to be one of the best.
He's a failed NFL player.
Exactly.
He couldn't make
the Minnesota Vikings, and he couldn't do anything at MMA.
Well, he did do some at MMA.
Not anymore. I'm talking about now.
Yeah.
He's not a big name in the MMA. I think you got to move on from him. He doesn't know. He has no fan base.
The highlight of his life is fucking Sable. I'm marrying Sable.
Well, I mean, that's a pretty good highlight.
It's a highlight of his life.
Sorry.
Triple A's not doing it. Triple H isn't doing anything either. So, I mean, it's just these are two guys that should just go out to pasture and move on.
Don't forget about Brock Lesnar's purple nipple.
Oh, yeah.
For whatever his left pectoral, it was just, like, purple.
I didn't even know how that happened.
He got scratched there.
Kaylin, how'd that happen?
I have no idea.
It's like he took a baseball bat to the nipple and just welted.
All right.
And then we forgot about Jimmy Johns.
Oh, yeah, Jimmy Johns.
How can we forget?
Is he the first WWF, I want to call it WWF, like Matt, is WWF.
To have sponsors?
To have a sponsor.
No. Yeah.
No.
Who was?
X-Pac, when he was shilling the energy drink, so it was flashed. It was flashed in the middle of his entrance video, and he was always drinking it on his way to the ring.
For real? Out of damn. That's fucking pretty fucking lame, man.
Snapping the slim.
It's pretty lame.
I would never do that shit. I would tell, like, management to fuck off. I know you're getting paid for it, but I'd be like, I would take a check and be like, I'm not doing that. I'm just fucking, you know.
All right.
People do crazy things when they're desperate, Matt.
All right, Danny.
Oh, X-Pac, I mean, he made that part with China, that disgusting part where China had, like, herpes and shit. Like,
what?
It was fucking... Yeah, you never wanted it.
I never watched it.
Howard Stern talked about it. It was, like, the most disgusting... And if you discussed Howard Stern, you know what I mean? That's, like, a lot. And he was talking about... He was like, yeah, this wrestler X-Pac made this part with China, and she had these, like, red dots in between her thighs.
Oh,
it was,
my
like,
God.
Herpes or some shit. And, like, I saw it. It was, like, the China... X-Pac and China porn was, like, the most disgusting porn I ever watched.
I kind of
want
to see it
on,
just to see her red spots.
It was pretty gross. It's like dude, and she has, like, her clit, like, it was fucking nasty because her clit comes out really far and her clit looked like a dick. It was really fucking gross, dude. It was really fucking nasty. Like, I agree with Howard Stern. It was, like, the most disgusting part
of it. So, Danny, final verdict on the Lesnar and Brock match. Lesnar and Triple H.
It had some intensity, but it was pretty mediocre.
Triple H used to be with China. I just want to add that.
And he used to be with,
he moved, who, with China, who, too. Who moved up? All right, Brian, what was the last match? What headlined this awesome WrestleMania?
The headline match was The Rock against John Cena, version 2.0. Last year, of course, it was in Miami. Everybody was excited about The Rock's reunion. You know, of course, he played football at the University of Miami as Dwayne Johnson. But, yeah, this match...
As Dwayne Johnson. That's like another character.
But it was what it was. There's nothing memorable. It was, and then at the end, wrestling should be about... vengefulness, it should be about a storyline, and they're all hugging and kissing, like, as if it's their boyfriends.
What? It was. There were a lot of gainers in that pay-per-view.
We forgot about...
You want to watch wrestling, man. You don't want to watch dudes hugging each other.
We forgot about, what's his name?
Darren Sandow was supposed to be there.
No, we forgot about the Spaniard match. That it was like a Rick Martel. Who's that guy?
No, we didn't.
Oh, dude.
Oh, my God. We forgot about that.
We forgot. You know why?
Oh, my God. How did we forget?
That wrestler put, like, Goldust to shame. That is the gayest wrestler that I've ever seen.
How can
what was his
forget?
Name? Like Fabio?
Fandango.
The guy that fought Chris Jericho? What's his name? Fandango?
Where did this go
what was his
in
name,
the
Fabio?
Order?
No, I don't remember his name.
Was this before? What match was this sandwich between?
It was probably number. It was probably number three.
Oh, my God. I can't believe I forgot.
I can't believe Jericho got beat by that guy.
Like, Carolyn, tell us about this match.
Well, first of all, I was, like, really excited to see Fandango because... Or is it Fandango or Fandango?
No, it's Fandango.
I think it's Fagdong.
Fagdongo.
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 All right,
anyway,
so tell us about this match.
I was
tell
really
us the,
excited.
The pre- tell us about this character first for people who don't know.
Yeah, he's this guy... That is like a dancer.
He's like really gay. Like,
he's like a dancer.
He
he's
social music.
What's that dance show that Chris Jericho was
dancing with the stars?
He's like a Dancing with the Stars, like a male version, kind of a little bit like a.
Gay.
Kind of a little
like
bit
a
like
version?
A... No, I was thinking how ironic it was that it's Chris Jericho's his first feud after he got eliminated.
Exactly.
Yeah,
I think that pairing is awesome, but it's kind of... He kind of, like, has a little bit of, like, an ice skater look as well.
A little bit gay.
A little bit gay. But he's awesome, because, like...
What would Brown Boy Tano do?
and he's like, and his promo pictures show him like holding a rose, and he seems like a romantic type guy that's like the cover of a romance novel that like those type of
a
women.
Gay romance novel.
Like a shirtless guy that's just like holding a rose, and he's a dancer. That's kind of his gimmick. But for the past, I don't know, I guess 3 months, they've kind of been teasing him. They're saying that he's going to make a premiere. And, you know, he's going to wrestle tonight on Raw, and then they'll show him. But people will not pronounce his name right, and he'll be like, no, I'm not going to wrestle. It's Fandango. And then, like, just leave. And he'll just, like, announce his name and how to pronounce it. And then, like, he comes out with this female dancer, and they do a little tango, and then they leave. So the first week, I was, like, excited to see him. I'm like, yes, I'm going to watch Fandango today. And then, you know, he denied the match and then left up the ramp. The second week, I was like, oh my god, I'm gonna really get excited to watch Fandango. And then he did it again. And then I started getting pissed. I was like, oh, so he's not gonna wrestle? And then he did it third time, and I got pissed again. And I was like, what is going on with this guy? Then he did it again. He's like, no, it's Fandango. And then he left. And then I was like, oh my god, I like this dude. He's like not premiering wrestling yet. And then he kept doing it for several more weeks. And until WrestleMania now, so now I'm like, it's official. He definitely is going to wrestle. So that's, yeah. That's why I was like really excited for this dude. He had like a lineup of probably like 10 to 15 female dancers in the beginning. And then he broke through all of them and came out with his female dancer. And it was just amazing. He was up against Chris Jericho. I liked the match. I actually think that the Punk Undertaker match was probably the best match, but the Fandango match is probably the second best match with Chris Jericho, and I felt like it was a really interesting dynamic to see both of them together because of Chris Jericho's Dancing with the Stars show, and
yeah,
I was glad that Fandango won. I'm actually expecting him to like be an awesome wrestler and just continue.
That's gonna be the end of the company. Like if they put the world title on that guy, it probably will happen.
But it would be so awesome because he has to like really earn it. You know what I mean? Like he has to really earn those fans. And from what I've heard, he's a good wrestler. So
he's gonna stop it. He's gonna get the Intercontinental title from Miz. And that'll peak.
Miz who wasn't even on the direct paying portion of
Miz is now like a transitional guy.
He was on like the free for all type of deal.
Yeah, the free for all.
But what did you all think of, like, besides it being gay, what did you all think about the Fandango match?
I really can't go make any other opinion other than the match being gay. Because, like, Chris Jericho would do moves, and, like, anytime that guy, the other, like, Fandango would do a move, it would just be, like, he would do, like, a dance, and all his moves are, like, I don't know,
but that's
like,
what
graceful,
makes him so
it's
great,
just, like,
though.
It's just the issue where, like, a wrestler like Jericho, who's, like, a real wrestler, that guy did, like, two moves a whole match. Like, the Fandango guy, like, it was Jericho beating him up, and he did, like, two moves, and then he ended up with him.
What'd you think, Brian?
Is this the first time that a guy's ever made his premiere on a WrestleMania?
Yes.
No.
I mean, in terms of a WWE wrestler, I'm not talking about like Lawrence Taylor.
I mean,
Biggie
Langston also premiered that was
no,
tonight
but that
too.
Was not. That was,
I,
that was,
I think.
He,
I think. There
oh, you mean
be
he
no
hasn't
premieres.
Wrestled yet?
No, yes,
there
WrestleMania.
Yeah,
oh,
WrestleMania.
I never really.
There had to have been premieres before. I just don't remember.
WrestleMania should be a like you said. They're not promoting any guys. You shouldn't promote a guy up to a WrestleMania. There's wrestlers that have been a Ring of Honor or whatever. Any. TNA, who cares, that have worked their hearts out for 5-10 years and they have this one guy, Fandango.
Guess what?
Know,
life is not fair.
Yeah, but it has nothing to
do. And they promoted
dude,
him like
yeah, but
Fandango,
if you're paying $50 for a WrestleMania pay-per-view, do you want to see a Fandango? Nothing against the guy.
So what you're saying is you'd rather see a return than a premiere.
Yeah, WrestleMania,
a return,
of course.
Always.
This is not... Premiere should be for Raw or anything. This is a WrestleMania.
Or like a Survivor Series or something like that.
But you know what? Matt brought up, you didn't like Fandango because he was kind of gay, but you said you like kind of these character wrestlers. Well, this guy at least had a character.
I will give you that. He did have a character.
Matt, let me tell you the truth, Matt. You know what's going to happen?
You're gonna be
3 months from now. Yeah. You're gonna be like that dude is awesome.
I don't really watch wrestling anymore.
Oh, that's true. But like, B, I have a feeling that's gonna happen. I've seen that happen so many times where people be like, "Man, that character is so gay," and then 3 weeks or a week later, it's like, you don't like the gayness, but you like the fact that like he's still doing that shit, and he's like, you know what I mean? Just in spite. You know what I mean?
I don't know, man. I can't really picture that guy because growing on me.
Do you like Shawn Michaels? Do you like Shawn Michaels?
Shawn Michaels got, like, gradually gayer, though. When he was with the Rockers, like, he was, like, 100% hetero. And then he heard of the Heartbreak Kid. He was with Sherry. It was later on. Dude. It was when they gave him, like, the championship push. That's when, like, he just went, like, full-on, like, flaming. I don't know what the fuck happened to him. Because, yeah, early Shawn Michaels, you know what I mean, was, like, a different character.
All right, I was just testing the waters then. Because that's always something where people, when they don't know who Shawn Michaels is, and they look at him and he's wearing the chaps, and they're like, man, that guy's...
Shawn Michaels wasn't... Yeah, but see, he wasn't flaming like that originally. Like, it was like, Vince McMahon's like, all right, Sean, we're going to give you a push, but we're going to make you gay. It's like a double. I don't know if he had shit against Shawn Michaels or what, but like, he was like, all right, we'll give you a push, but we're going to make people make fun of you all the time.
It's like this. It's like, do you want the belt? Yes, I want the belt. All right.
I have a plan. I'm going to make you. Because you see him now that he's like retired and he's like the hunter guy. Like the way he actually dresses. He's like promoting like hunting gear or whatever. So you know, he's just like Vince McMahon's like, all right, Sean, you can have the belt, but we're going to make you gay.
All right, Danny. Yeah. Danny, final word on the Fandango.
I don't understand this hate for Fandango because let's face it, they have been way, way gayer gimmicks. Like No, Johnny B. Bad.
But see, Johnny B. Bad always had a really hot chick with him, though. His wife.
Which makes him more gay, right?
He's married to Sable. He was married to Sable.
But the thing is, like, Fandango, he's doing something, a total throwback to old wrestlers using all these vignettes, just piss off the fans. Yeah. That's what you're supposed to do.
Or to get the reaction from the fans.
But the fact that before he even had a single match, everyone wanted to boo the shit out of him.
Yeah.
That's a successful debut.
So you're saying, I agree with you. You can get people to hate you. That's because the wrestling heel should be hated by everybody. And now, you know, you have the, they were born Fandango, but then you have the two guys in the main event who were supposed to be both baby faces, and the entire crowd's born them. So, I mean, there's, you know.
Well, that's
because
they're hipsters, and they just want to boo.
Yeah, that's the
they got to boo everybody.
So would you say that was a good match? Would you make that as your number three match of the night, Danny, or number two?
The Fandango and Chris Jericho? Yeah, that would probably be up there, top three.
Fandango only did like two moves.
Doesn't matter.
But Jericho did all the rest of them.
But you're saying Chris Jericho, like, so... I mean, the Triple H and Lesnar match, Triple H sold that, like, he sold it in the fact that the moves Lesnar's doing, he actually made it look like he was hurt.
If I was basing just the quality of match on, like, just audience reaction alone... Fandango had a lot of reactions.
I put that match probably at the top three or four.
I'll say that the top three. All right, so now we have the, where were we? Brian, main event.
Yeah, main event, CM Punk against The Rock. I mean, there wasn't really, all it was finishers.
But finishers. But there's a reason this is the main event, though, right? Well, there's money to be made on that, do you think?
But for the dumb fans. Everybody knows The Rock is whatever. The Rock hasn't been a wrestler in over 5-6 years.
8 years.
8 years. My bad. Even worse.
Even longer.
But that's the whole point. Like, are WWE fans that dumb to keep on thinking, oh, let's go pay money to see The Rock?
Well,
The Rock.
Last year's WrestleMania was the highest grossing WrestleMania.
Back in Miami, though. I could see that. I could see that plot line. We already saw it.
Eight years is a long time. I never realized the one we watched a year ago, highest
grossed of all time.
Yeah.
No fucking shit.
But then again, they're in all different countries now. I mean, they're throughout the whole world, so I mean, I don't know.
And that was supposed to be one time only, too.
See, I don't think the high grossing thing really is relevant, considering it's like, you know, movies. Everything that comes out now, due to the cost of inflation, I don't think wrestling, when they boast their profits, they're not factoring in the inflation thing. So it's like, when people are like, oh, the new Star, or like, Avatar beat the shit out of everything, it's like, yeah, but then when you factor in the inflation, it still like falls behind the Titanic and like Star Wars and stuff like that.
Yeah.
I don't think wrestling is factoring in for that inflation. So they may have grossed a ton last year, but still, like, the dollar amount, I mean, not to sound too nerdy, but they probably are more middle of the pack in the end.
And do you think this is one of the main reasons why The Rock was given the belt, so he can at least bring in
money?
Because that still makes me pissed off, man.
But also the 8 years thing, I didn't realize it was that long. If you really think about it, even from... I think most people get into wrestling when they're younger.
If you also think about it, it's been 3 years since The Rock first returned to WWE, too.
But even think of how long 8 years is. That's like two high school terms.
Yeah.
So, like...
Two generations, essentially.
Two generations, so that's a long gap. For people that are growing up, if they heard of The Rock back then.
It is. But then...
Who knows, they might... But then, who knows, maybe when they hear that he's going to be at WrestleMania, then they might tune in.
Probably, and their older people are like, oh, The Rock is awesome. He's in this movie.
And they're also catering to our demographic.
Sorry. Yeah, they are definitely trying to cater to both. But, all right, with that alone, Brian, what'd you feel about this match?
I didn't feel anything, especially at the end.
Neither did the audience.
The end. You're supposed to, be, you know, if it's an epic match and the guys are hugging each other towards the end, you can be like, damn, that was a hell of a match.
But what about this match?
It was just you talk about Matt. You talking about gayness? The end. you had two guys hugging each other.
That was gayer than fun.
Let's all go point hands. Oh, this guy's a legend. You're the legend. No, I'm the legend. Who's the legend? Oh, you got the belt now. To me. You don't do that. To me, it should have been you end Rock's career.
Rock shakes his hand,
and he's kissing his whole family. I didn't feel any of that.
Yeah.
You should feel that. You should feel the emotion. I felt zero emotion. I felt it just ended. It was like, okay, I guess Cena's now the champion. The Rock can go make his pitiful movies that will still gross $50 to $75 million.
$50 to $75 million.
Who knows?
They make a lot of money.
We're talking $150 to $200 million.
Tooth Fairy 3, man, got nominated for an Oscar.
Whatever the hell. All I know is The Rock, his career, as far as I'm concerned, as a main event, is over. You cannot have him as a main event anymore.
Well, the news is he's going to be at Extreme Rules, but
what, are you going to have a match?
I don't know, but he's signed on to be there in some form.
He'll still be around. He'll always have some connection to WWE, and he can come and go as he pleases. It's like a revolving door for The Rock.
I mean, they could have had, even though he can't even wrestle anymore, they could have had Austin like come out and like beat up both of them at the end, just for the hell of it, just to make it better. You know what I mean? That would have been better. Is like, you know, these two dudes are fucking like, instead of fighting at the end, they're fucking like hugging each other. They could have had like Austin come out and beat both of them up like after they hug. You know what I mean? You know, give the fans like something.
How was the match? But what about the match?
Was it like a year ago?
Was it exactly
like a match a year ago?
Like all right. So Danny, describe this. What do you think is it like the? What's the difference between a WrestleMania match and like a normal match, on a pay per view?
Well, the answer is simple. They abuse the shit out of how many times they use the finisher. My joke with WrestleMania is, one finisher will never work at WrestleMania for a world title match. You have to hit three or four of them.
It's become almost like cliche at this point.
You, that's why I'm always like, he's going to kick out. It's the first one. And they always kick out. It isn't until the third or fourth
one.
But
Macho Man, we were talking about earlier with the Ultimate Warrior.
Yeah, Macho Man had to drop five elbows on him.
I guess that's why the Daniel Bryan from last year was so surprising.
That's because it was an early card match.
Yes, it has to be the top tier three. Now it feels like there's always like three main events now.
Yeah, this one had like five main events.
That's because they got Ron Smack. I mean, because back in the day, they didn't have, you know, two different brands. They had one brand.
And they barely even have that now, the Raw and SmackDown.
Yeah. Well, back in the day, I mean, I got to bring up a point. I thought about this shit today. And I actually thought about it what I kind of feel like Brock took a lot away from it when they made monthly pay-per-views.
Did they have that before with the In Your House? Was that monthly?
Yeah, but In Your Houses were always weaker than the regular. But, dude, you remember being a kid and you would have between Royal Rumble to WrestleMania to SummerSlam.
You'd have like four months.
It would be like 4 months,
that.
Dude. And the matches, they would be hype. Dude, you remember being like nine, like SummerSlam 91, like how hype we were for it. You know what I mean?
I remember that.
It's just like the hype. You have like all that hype for a long time. And now it's like, all right, what? They hype the match up for a month and it ain't that big of a deal. And it took, in my opinion, it took away from, you know, the big pay-per-view. Like, oh, the granddaddy of them all, you know. WrestleMania, the fact that they have a pay-per-view every month.
I mean,
you know what I mean?
I do believe that, too. Yeah. And there still used to be a little bit of specialness when they broke it up to Raw and SmackDown, when they used to have their own pay-per-view, so you wouldn't have to watch the same ones. But these days, now
they integrate them.
Now they're all the same show, so you do lose that. And that's what TNA now is. They're doing less pay-per-views. But I don't know if that's going to save them. But they do have cool,
They'll be around because Jeff Jarrett and Jerry Jarrett have enough money to keep them going.
Yeah.
I mean, they'll be around. And like I told you, any wrestler, like, oh, I tested positive for cocaine, I gotta go TNA. Hey, you know what I mean? It's pretty much, because didn't they have Brian Christopher, didn't like Jeff Hardy fail a drug test?
Ecstasy.
Yeah, I
mean, ecstasy and opium all the
time.
Yeah,
he got like arrested for that.
But he went to TNA and became a champion. How awesome would it be, man? But it's like, hey, I failed a drug test, they're gonna put the belt on me.
Bubba Ray Dudley's yelling like homosexual remarks at the fans. Now he's like the world champion.
Yeah, you get rewarded for your bad behavior in TNA.
Exactly, dude. That's TNA, man. It's no matter what you do that people don't like, you know what I mean? You get rewarded for it.
One of my all time favorite like YouTube clips is after Jeff Hardy left WWE like the last time, and then it's like this is filmed at like an indie show. People were chanting CM Punk at him, and he was just like, "Oh, come on!" He's supposed to be like a face. What do you think of the main event, Carolyn? WrestleMania.
Well, I don't dislike The Rock and I don't dislike Cena, but it's just like, I wish that the Punk-Undertaker match was the end match.
Yeah, it would have made it more special, right?
Yeah, and I feel like The Rock and Cena are both good, you know, like they do excellent like charity work, they're like the face of the company, there's really, the only thing that you can really say about them... I mean, you can't really even say anything bad about Cena, first of all.
And so they're the kids in class that always raise their hand.
They're just like, they're good. And then there's I guess you can give The Rock some pressure for like not always being there. But then again, you know,
he has no pressure because he's a big actor.
Yeah, well, I guess like that's the thing as a fan. You're like, well, you're not there for me. But he's there for movies, and he also has supported WWE for so many years beforehand. So. It's really hard to be super critical of them, but at the same time, I just want to see stuff that's newer.
So here's the thing, Carolyn.
Entertaining.
Here's the thing. During the boringness, at least, well, I wasn't really entertained that much about the Rock match, the Rock and Cena match, because I watched the last Rock and Cena match, and I was like, it's probably going to be the same exact thing. In my head, and probably all of our heads, was the one thing that could save this pay-per-view was what?
Ziggler,
yeah. What was the hashtag that we created somehow? What was it? The one, it was Triple H Frosted, and then the other one was Your Only Hope Ziggler.
or directed at Ziggler.
Now I remember at the very end of the pay-per-view, that's what we all wanted. Like that whole entire time, we're just like, come on Ziggler, get that music to hit.
I think people just want something fresh, you know, it's nothing personal against The Rock or Cena, but people just, I feel like at least us as an audience want something fresh, and we didn't see anything fresh. Even if like the final match, you know, was Cena and The Rock, we just wanted to see something different than seeing them again and again and again, but we never saw anything different.
All right, so to close this show, Matt, I know you're about to speak, but I'll let you roll on this. Just overall impressions of WrestleMania.
But also, can we talk about Sandow?
Lack of Sandow? All right, hold that thought, Matt. Let's go right into Sandow. We'll close with Sandow, then we'll go to the...
Well, there was supposed to be a match of Sandow and...
Cody Rhodes.
Cody Rhodes, thank you. The Rhodes Scholars.
Rhodes Scholars against... what is their new name?
Funk is on a roll.
Tons of funk.
And the Funkadactyls.
What are they, like Men on a Mission?
That's pretty much what it is.
Pretty much.
And that did not happen. And all I can really say, just to wrap up the show, is that I'm disappointed. I was looking forward to that match. I had my Damian Sandow bathrobe on, and I just really wanted to see that, and it didn't happen. So I'm like, what happened with that?
All right, Danny, final impressions on WrestleMania.
You know, I was really hoping that we would actually talk about the Sandow stuff before we got to Cena and Rock, and then we'd be like, oh, we don't have time for Cena and The Rock. That would have been very appropriate. I am disappointed that there was no Rhodes Scholars match because I like Damian Sandow, so the pay-per-view as a whole I think was kind of weak. But like we always say, there's always next year's WrestleMania.
There is always next year. It's always cool to get people around. What about you, Brian?
Undertaker 21-0, that's what matters. His all-time record still stands as a tradition in WrestleMania.
Will it ever end? Now we never know who will do it.
We will never know, but CM Punk, I think, he has to be the future going into SummerSlam.
What about you, Brian? What about you, Ben?
Yeah, I agree with Brian. Punk's the future, but they're going to need to bring in new talent. I mean, and until they develop new talent, the only way they're going to do it will be to pay the top people in TNA to go there. And you know what I mean?
What did you say? Pay TNA?
Pay the top people, the top talent.
I don't know why I heard TNA. I was like, pay TNA people.
Nobody wants those guys back.
Nobody want him back? What if they got Angle back? Well, I mean, Angle could be
He's already worn out.
Dude, Angle's so old and busted now.
Because what about the people they had? What about another tech? Because, I mean, it'll take
I'd like to
time.
See Motor City Machine Guns come to WWE.
Yeah. But they're not going to be main event. Yeah, they'd be jobbers. They wouldn't be main eventers. They would have to be a guy who'd already had history with WWF. WWF. Yeah, I got to keep going with it. But there's got to be a guy who's already had history they bring back. Just... I mean, why do you think they gave
Papa Shango?
Papa Shango, yeah, yeah.
Well, thanks, Matt. Thanks, Brian. Thanks, Danny, for
always
being on
pleasure.
The show.
Thank you.
It was pretty crazy, but it was a real WrestleMania critique or whatever we're gonna call it. Honest
review,
a good review of WrestleMania. So, of course, everyone can check us out. Actually, does anyone else have a website we can check out? Anyone want to promote something?
I blog.
I blog.
All right, cool. All right, so. Don't forget, everyone, this show is brought to you by StrayProductions.com. Check out also my films at one-shots.com and goastray.tumblr.com. What about you, Carolyn?
I have a comic strip called Curls. You can find it at www.curls-studio.com.
And don't forget, everyone, to definitely go to AwesomeCon. We have a big or maybe tiny special guest at our recording of the Carolyn Joe Show at AwesomeCon on Sunday at 2 p.m. Look it up. It should be pretty awesome. Also, listen to us on Stitcher. What else am I missing? Am I missing anything else?
This Saturday, we're going to be at the Annapolis Book Festival.
Yes. Yes, yes, yes. That's going to be great.
I'm looking
That's going to be by so fast. Well, guys, thanks for being on the show.
Thanks as always.
Thank you.
Hopefully we have one way everyone back in some sort of fashion. And as always, my name is Joe.
And I'm Carolyn.
Catch you all later.